Hello! Welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 71. Start of a new week. Week 11, if we're all still counting. I think I've given up counting. How is everybody? Let me know. I'm looking at the wrong chat, so I'm not going to see a thing, am I? I can see the right player. Now I've got the chat. Fabulous. We've dispensed with the big red thing. We've replaced it with the subtle blue thing that says live. Good evening, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Hard to pull myself away from the carpenters of Brooklands. It'll always be on again. Hello, Simon. How are you doing? What have you all been doing on this lovely, overwarm bank holiday? Is it a holiday in the States? This is the first question. And then I shall tell you all about my tech calamities. That phone's possessed. And I seriously mean possessed. You know the one that rang and freaked me out and I threw it in a drawer? It went flat. So I've charged it and now it's even worse than it was before. Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. So I'm shoving it on one side again. Luckily, I have a third spare phone, which I might need. I will explain all. Hello, Bill from Janesville. I think I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with it. But hello and welcome. So Jonathan's managed to launch his site. And very fine it looks as well, Jonathan. Wanted to do it 10 weeks ago. Just put it up, then put the content up, and then it'll all fall into place. I mean, if we waited, Jonathan, until MacBytes was perfect to put a show out, you'd be retired. Just saying. Seriously, just do it. Just do it. I'm fast getting to that place myself. Although, having said that, I did have to sort Mike out this afternoon and get everything just perfect, or my OCD kicked in. We were attempting to look at two meetings we were trying to have, and he started fiddling. He was in Chrome, and he started fiddling, trying to size it to get it on one half and then size it to get it on the other. And I'm like, Mike, really? Really? So first of all, I said he should have had some shortcut keys where it twangs a window to fill 50% of the screen on the left and 50% on the right. That's the first thing he should have had. And the second thing he should have had was Vivaldi, all configured and set up, which he now has. And I hear Chicken. Oh, Chicken's not coming in.
No, I'm coming in.
You're coming in. Do you want to say hello to everybody?
Hello, everybody.
It's easier to tweet now some things up. Exactly. It is. Seriously. I had exactly the same issues. You want everything to be right. I also had the same issues that you found with Divi, where you're looking at it and thinking, really? It's such an odd ratio to work to. I didn't go for the ultra high def that you did because I found that my images, because they're posters, they were quite large anyway, so I went for the smaller one. But I could, of course, upscale it because I created a template in Affinity Designer. So that's why there is that odd one. And mine is 795 by 500. Which I think is probably what it used to be on Divi many years ago when I created them. But it looks fine everywhere, so I'm leaving it alone. But yeah, it's a weird one. And if you don't use the right ratio, which is 159 to 10, which is ludicrous, but if you don't use that one, it's Scunthorpe's, which means it crops it. And that could leave you with a very, very red face, with a rude word, as Mike says, with a rude word. Yes, so you have to be very careful with that. So I must admit, I do make a separate one for that. So the posters are slightly different. The one that I did for the last show with the moon on it, if you look on the website and you look at the socials, it is slightly different. That's why. I think you could only see half the moon. Only half the moon was rising on that one. So yes, Jonathan needed speakers. How are you doing with that? CQ Deb, CQ, how are you doing? No decision yet. Waiting for the next credit card statement. Mine were quite expensive looking back, but there was a reason that I bought them. You'd probably, I'll take a photo because I can't find a photo online and I can't believe that. The only one I could find was really tiny, but I'll take a photo. They were really popular about 14 years ago, and I thought they were beautiful. But I vaguely recall paying about £150, £160. Underneath the desk, there is a big box, the base unit, under the desk. And on the desk, I can take a photo now, actually, can't I? Hang on, I've got the wrong phone. That's the one that's possessed. Let me get the other one. I will take that there. You'll only be able to see one of them, but you'll get the idea. You'll get the idea. I will dropler that right this second. But I went for them because, like you, I thought, oh, it's a speaker. I'm not spending a fortune. And I ended up buying. They weren't that expensive. They were probably around about 12 to 15 pounds about 15 years ago. But they literally lasted like 2 months and then they started crackling. So once I'd got my Mac, I used the built-in speaker. And then I said to Mike, do you know what? Really fancy some decent speakers. And my reason was something I've mentioned to you all before. The wall that I sit facing in my office is the wall that many years ago had the shelves on it. And I drilled the holes for the shelves, wasn't letting my father loose. Trust me, no. The last time he drilled a hole, he burnt the carpet when he put the hot drill on it. Mother went mad. So I was drilling the holes. That way we wouldn't have had another inferno. And the wall's got slate in it. Now, the wall Mike faces, his computer backs onto a wooden door. His speakers sound gorgeous, lovely and warm, straight off the Mac. Mine, just the sound sounds like a pea in a tin can. It's hideous because it's hitting this wall that's got slate in it and it's just going. So I said to him, right, you know, I could do with some really nice speakers and I know just the set. And we went out to bought them. We bought them from a place up in Stockport. Oh, we used to go there quite a bit. I remember taking Maya with us. Was it Ram Computers in Stockport? Do you remember on the A6? Yeah. It was like an office building that had been converted, wasn't it? But there was another one in town. But they didn't have the speakers and we went up. I'm sure it was Ram.
Ram was in Fallowfield.
I know, but there was two. It was Ram Computers. So I remember spending about £160 on these things. But the whole point is they're still actually going now, which I was spending 12 to 15 anyway, and they were lasting less than 2 months. So that's why I went for a decent pair. But the bit underneath may well be a little bit big for you. The ones that I put up last night, the ones with the clip on, I'd never seen anything like that. And what it was, the priest does like his music. I've no idea why that's coming sideways again. And they need a bit of a clean, but you get the idea. I've got one of those. If you tilt your head sideways, I've got one of those on either side and it needs cleaning and you need to tilt your head. But you do get the idea from that. But I'm very glad that I went for them. I've never even hankered after getting anything else. And I wouldn't even know what was out there in this price range. But the ones that I got for the priest, he was like, this monitor's shocking. And I said, I know, needs to go into external speakers. Get me some, he said. But the parish secretary works at the computer and does not want to be working around two huge speakers. And I thought, this one clips to the top of the monitor. I wonder. Anyway, I got it, installed it, loves it. Absolutely loves it. So I wouldn't say maybe aesthetically, and it's going to depend on where your webcam is, which was what I mentioned, but it's not bad. And as I said, Mike uses a Bluetooth one, but it's plugged in. And that's an Anker one. Ours is shiny silver-ish, but the new one that they've got is like black plastic, which I'm not at all sure is an improvement. But that's how it is these days. Now, I also need to apprise you at this point before I catch up with the chat again. We've managed to potentially double book ourselves, haven't we, Mike? That was my fault. I put a Morrison's order in. This was about 3 o'clock this afternoon, it was.
I had a Facebook message.
Yes.
From somebody.
Yeah. No one can hear you if your microphone's pointing at the ceiling.
I've had a Facebook message from somebody wanting to know the login details for tonight. The same person who wanted to know the login details for last Thursday.
But tonight's a council meeting. Oh, she might be sorting Joe out.
Exactly.
Yeah, she might be sorting Joe out. Oh, Can't have a woman in the council meeting. Good grief. Panicsville. So anyway, this double booking of ourselves that's gone on is the Morrison's delivery. So if it comes before 7:30, we're sorted with Mike. Otherwise, I have a phone to dial myself like we do for Clap for
that's
Carers.
7:15.
Well, he's not even on his way yet. So unless he comes at 9 o'clock or after 8 o'clock, which I haven't even had a text yet to say he's on his way, which is usually like the 20-minute mark. If all of a sudden I disappear, or I won't totally disappear, I'll dial myself and we'll do a live reception of the Morrison's order. God, you see life on Matt Bites Maroon, don't you? I know, they're out having a party.
Yeah.
I've seen.
Socially distancing one either.
No, I know, I've seen it. Yeah. There was a noise outside, and you know the guy who's forever cleaning his car?
Yeah.
They're now having a car cleaning party. They've brought chairs out while they watch him clean the car. Redefined. Sad, doesn't it? And they're not socially distancing, and they're not in the same house either. But apparently that's the thing, because the government aren't. So if I disappear, and I'm talking on a phone, you know why. I'm just going to tell him to drop it at the porch and I'll sort it out. You like those speakers, but they don't look cheap. No, and you can't buy them anymore. It's unfortunate. I really do like them. Until they turn up their collective toes, they're not going anywhere. I've also, because I've got those speakers, been able to create quite an advanced audio setup. When we do the Brooklyn show, Mike needs to hear the music playing on my machine at the same time I do. Now, obviously, he could listen to the stream, but if he's listening to the stream, he's about 20 to 30 seconds behind, and he needs to talk as well as I do. So that's why we did this advanced audio setup. So he has a cable that runs around the entire office that's plugged into the output from my Mac. Doesn't use it that often, but when we're live, he will. So his headphones will be attached to that, as well as the microphone. But those speakers allow me to do that. They actually just plug into the 3.5-inch jack. But underneath, on this big box bit that's on the floor, there's all kinds of ports on it that you can then extend it and send it elsewhere. So we've got all the wires hidden down under there. Right, let me catch up.
Kim made curly fries with zucchini.
Oh, curly fries. Mike loves curly fries.
I do.
I think those curly fries would taste much better if they had some Cajun on them.
They probably would.
Yet they were tasteless, Mike.
They were.
They needed some kind of flavour.
Don't say they were tasteless, Mike. It wasn't me who put them in the basket.
No, I know I bought them for you and you said you liked them. But when you said try one and I had a tiny bite and I said it's like eating nothing, it needs some Cajun.
Right. I'll see to that.
Okay. Don't try a brush to it as well.
Yeah, already have. Domestic at Matt Bites headquarters.
Oh, no, we're only playing. You know we're only playing. So Jonathan is tempted to buy a nice set, but he's going to need to wait for the next statement. This one's already going to hit with thump. Yeah, that's the problem I've got, Jonathan, as well. And yet, you know, I look and I think, I've not bought much this month. And the credit card bill comes in and you're like, pardon? Really? Did I? Apparently so.
Is it JonathanIsaacs.com?
Yes, it is. She's got the chicken and she's squeaking him.
There Kim, he is. There's Johnny I.
Earmuffs on Kiva. She's got the chicken and she's squeaking him. That actually sounds really nice. They have Parma cheese with Italian seasoning. Oh, and you hear chicken. She's been quite quiet with chicken at the moment, to be honest. She's not great in this kind of weather. Her underfur's coming out again. The second it gets this warm, her underfur starts falling out. Well, actually, it doesn't. You've got to kind of tease it out. So you basically pretend to be stroking her lots. But what you're actually doing is raking your fingers through it and getting rid of the undercoat. So I think we're going to have a session of that tonight. But it's been nice all day. How is it with you, Jonathan? Because you're not far away. But it's gone that kind of muggy thing now again. And the sooner people get back to work, the better, because they're congregating. And I don't like non-socially distanced congregating. Doesn't work for me. We'll have to see how that goes. What calamity did we have today in the... Yes, I've been busy. I was doing my two-hour music show. I edited that this morning. So we did a holiday music show for Brooklands. And that went out at 3 o'clock today. So... which one did you pick for first? It's Club Tropicana we started with. And we went through all kinds of stuff. Shall I tell you what we played?
Very nice, Johnny, by the way.
Yes, I said that. It looks good, nice. Doesn't it?
Parmesan cheese with Italian seasoning and chicken.
Chicken. Yeah, the rubber one. The rubber one. Yes, let's have a look at what we played. Oh, Club
Tropicana.
You know,
Tropicana. If I wasn't running this meeting and I'd go in at 28 past.
Yeah, I know, but you are. So you can't, and it's quarter past, so you've got to go.
But I've set up a what's it, haven't I?
A waiting room.
A waiting room.
Oh, you've got all the Catinians locked away.
Well, they can wait.
They can't even talk to each other while they're waiting.
No.
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 You have the power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marooned or Catinians?
Oh. 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 Kim says disaster report. 92 active hazards around the world. There's none near us, is there, Kim? Don't tell me that now. I thought we got off quite lightly so far. Nothing went catastrophically wrong with my edit. How many songs did I have in there? Quite a few. 32 songs I had. And I picked all the upbeat ones. Well, there was a couple of slowies in there. There was Happy Hawaii. That was a slowie. Living La Vida Loca was pretty... No, Viva La Vida, which was Coldplay. 1973, that was a bit slow. But I ramped up the hype, especially with the Mexican hat dance towards the end. We went from the Macarena through the Mexican hat dance through to Walking on Sunshine and finished with I Got a Feeling from the Black Eyed Peas, which is pretty much... It was a bopping summer track, that was. Ooh. Absolutely. Oh, good. Nothing in the UK. So far, so good with our laughable holiday. Day three. So far, so good. And seeing as though we're not going anywhere, I did actually notice something today that Mike's been telling you for weeks. It's the first time I've seen it. It was a lady who was out jogging and I just happened to be glancing out of the window. And there was an elderly gentleman walking along the pavement. So she's careering towards him at about, 20 miles an hour. And he's hobbling along. And he kind of leant into the wall, somebody's garden wall, and stopped. But she gave him the entire pavement. She ran completely into the middle of the road and went all past the, Bollard Gate. She ran clean past Bollard Gate and went back on the pavement on the other side. So people are still doing that, aren't they? Mm. And yet, then you've got people across the road having a car washing party.
Idiots.
Yes, I know. Let's not talk about them. They're idiots. So they're still flooding in the States. We've got some friends who are in California and they were saying that it's very dry there and they've only just had rain. As if about the first time in 2 years, something like that, because there was lots of fires. So you must get the extremes of both ends of the weather. As to be honest, we do. I mean, we had hot weather for a while, which kind of dried things out. Then it rained like heck for weeks and weeks. It was biblical. And I don't know if you saw news of the dam at Whaley Bridge, but basically it broke. And there's a village at the bottom of that. So they had to evacuate. That was actually a bit of a forerunner for this, wasn't it? Because people wouldn't leave. They were staying at home.
Yeah.
And they were putting the first responders' lives at risk. That was interesting, that was. They were out of the houses about 6 days,
right,
something
I
like that.
I better get in there.
Get in there. Just face fact, you're going to have to do your meeting. Mm. Off your toddle. He's chairing a meeting tonight.
He's chairing it.
If you're not there, it's not happening, Mike. Not chairing, he's Zooming. He's Zoom Master. They now have a new role at the Catinians called Zoom Master. So the Southwest have got a drought and the Midwest have got flooding. Is there nothing they can do technically to even that out? I often wonder that. There's certain parts of the UK where there'll be Kent particularly, if it only needs to be sunshining for half an hour and they're on restricted water. You can't use hose pipe bans and things. But in the north of Scotland, it's still raining. And you think, could they not do something? I guess it's more difficult with water than gas. I watched a fascinating documentary about how the gas supplies work from the North Sea. The things that you find interesting. I had no idea I would find it interesting, but it was amazing. You actually saw how they took out an oil rig and installed it, which to be honest, I had wondered about, wondered how you did that. But you saw them do that. You saw the whole process from start to finish. And they had these like little robot, well, they weren't little, through the pipes. They would like open the pipe, and the core of the pipe was probably about 30 inches across. And they popped this side off the pipe and they put this robot in it. And it basically filled the pipe. And it shot from Norway over to Russia and then went down to Germany, and then it bobbed back. And the information that it had fed back to a computer whether there were any hairline cracks in the pipe that could cause a problem. And this particular time they did it, there wasn't, but they showed you the data from when there was, and then they send an engineering crew out to fix the pipe, even though it's a tiny hairline fracture. It was amazing. I love stuff like that. I'm actually contemplating, because I don't really watch that much TV. I've got now TV, but that's about it. Never watch anything on the normal TV. In fact, the aerial moved, and I don't think we've actually got a picture at the moment, so never mind. That's how much TV I watch, I don't bother. But this thing's all about documentaries. It's like a documentary subscription. So I quite fancied that. I might give it the trial and see how we go, see what sort of documentaries they are. But I love that kind of thing. It was amazing. There was a lot of technology involved in something that you don't really give a second thought to. Another one was the dam in Brazil, the biggest dam in the world. And you actually went down into the bowels of the earth with it. And they've got equipment there, seismological equipment, where they're measuring tiny, tiny fractional changes, because that could completely cause a major, major, major disaster. And it was just fascinating to see it. Not the kind of stuff that's on our normal TV. As you all know, as I keep telling Paul, and Paul, I actually have keyed up. You're going to love this one. I'm actually contemplating how to get it to you. And definitely don't let Mrs. Paul near it. Not unless you warn her first. But I've actually, I got my computerised TV thing, an ITV, and I did a search for that programme I keep mentioning. It's called Naked Attraction. Jonathan's seen it, but he's not telling Mummy Isaacs that. So keep that quiet. It's this naked dating show. And Paul said, do they blur bits out? Oh, no, they don't. So I found one that's on about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to record it, Paul, and then find a way to get it to you, just so you can see the kind of rubbish British TV we are subjected to. The world has the opinion that British TV is amazing. That's because you see the very, very best of it. We sadly see all the rest. And that programme's one of them. There was another one on I had the misfortune to see for 10 seconds earlier today. It's called Loose Women, and it's basically a chat show between women. It's something to watch at least once. Once was enough, Jonathan. My eyes needed bleaching after I saw it. I kind of glanced and thought, oh, that guy's naked. And I went, what? On British TV? I went all Mary Whitehouse. Oh, well, Kim, did you miss the naked dating show chat? Basically, overnight in the UK, there's this. I inadvertently caught it. I had no idea what it was. Oh, it'd be eye-opening, Paul. Trust me. Trust me on that one. I had no idea what it was. It looked like a dating show. And if you've seen it, Jonathan, I can't remember the name of the girl who presents it. She's the spit image of Davina McCall. So I'm thinking, why is Davina McCall stood next to that guy and he's got no clothes on? And we are talking literally naked. And then I realised that it was like, I'm trying to think what kind of programme. One of these programmes where you have a person behind, in like a booth behind glass, and they can't see each other. The three contestants can't see each other. But then these glass things open, and the guy who's naked, stood next to the presenter, gets to see these three or four women totally naked as well. And they start, it's diabolical. Words, there were no words, were there, Jonathan? I'm just sat there with my jaw on the floor. And I'm literally like, is this British? What's it doing on the TV? Oh, my word. So I told Mike and he didn't believe me. He's like, no. He said he must have been from abroad. No, Mike, it's not. So I did a search to find it. And I said, I'm going to record this episode. I'll take the ads out and stuff, and then I'll put it somewhere that you can enjoy it too. So you suffer just as much as Jonathan and I. Cilla Blackwood have fainted. You're not kidding. I mean, there were some lewd suggestions on, what was it she did? Blind Date. But nothing like this. How do they socially distance? Well, at the moment, I think they're running replays. But the essence of the show is some of these people are serious. So the one I saw, and I did only see the one, I mean, it was one of those things I couldn't turn it off. It was that bad. But it was a girl who'd been the one. Now, did she? I think she did the picking. But the ultimate game aim of the game show is whoever is stood with the presenter is going to pick one of the people who's naked on the stage for a date. And the idea is, you can relax at that point because you've seen them naked already. So this girl ended up going out with the guy, and I don't know who picked who. I think she picked him. I think she did, because when afterwards she said maybe she should have picked somebody else. So I think she picked him. But what actually happened was they go out on this date and it did not go well. And when they've been on the date, about 3 weeks later, I mean, sometimes I'm presuming, but I don't know because I've only seen it once. Once was enough, keeps saying, once was enough. But I presume sometimes they get together. Well, the date didn't go brilliantly, but, you know, maybe they could have had another one. He ghosted her. Not only did he ghost her after the date, they go back on the show and they talk about their date. And he refused point blank to go back on the show. She ended up a crying heap. And I'm like, if you're that sensitive, I mean, I can totally understand that. But if you are sensitive like that, would you go on the show in the first place? And the answer's got to be no, even if you were clothed. Are they naked on the date as well? Luckily not, Kim, no. But some of them do go home together afterwards, apparently. It's one of those shows, I guess you wouldn't... If you don't watch the particular channel, I think it's Channel 4 or Channel 5. So it's not one of our... We have five channels in the UK that are free to air via an aerial. All you need to watch those channels is a licence for the BBC, even though three of the channels are not BBC channels. You need a licence to own a TV in the UK. In fact, it's more than that. You need a TV licence if you have in the house equipment capable of receiving a TV signal. So even when we didn't have a physical TV, we still needed a license because we had a USB device plugged into our computers that did. It used to be that when you got to 75 years of age, you would get your TV license for free. It costs about £140 a year. So my father reached 75 first before my mum. And they put the thing in and they got a free TV license. So it's per household. So it wasn't a case that Mike and I needed a different one. One license per household is fine. Then when Dad died, we had to send the license back and get it put in Mum's name. But she was still over 75, so it was still free. It just needed to be in her name. They were actually incredibly generous because when she died, it was December and it's due around July. But they said we didn't have to pay until it ran out. And I thought that was incredibly generous. I was expecting to, you know, send it back and give them the £140-odd for the year. But they said, no, just keep the same date and just pay the bill. We will send you a bill in July, which I thought was incredibly good. One of those things you've got to remember to do when somebody dies. You'd rather watch them fixing the cracks in the oil pipes. It was fascinating. Honestly, it was. But, you know, I think to be fully fledged MacBiters, when Jonathan and I have seen this thing, even Mike hasn't seen it. So I'm going to take a picture of his face when he does, when I get this one episode recorded. It's on at stupid o'clock. They might even have a subtitler on it, which might cover up bits if you're lucky. But I will endeavour to get an episode of this recorded anyway. It's just unbelievable. And this is what we pay a TV license for. I think you wouldn't know it was on. I'm just thinking, like, you know, if my grandmother had seen something like that, she would have had another heart attack. Seriously. It just shows you, because I don't particularly watch TV, it's not aimed at my age group, clearly. But, you know, you could inadvertently catch it, which obviously I did, and just be absolutely horrified. You think that kind of thing is only on paid for TV, but no, my eyes were accosted with it and I literally had to Google it because I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing. And even though Jonathan is a millennial, you are an honorary not millennial, Jonathan, because you were as horrified as the rest of us. It's just one of those things. Your eyes are bleeding and you can't stop watching. You're thinking, I'm not seeing it. I'm clearly having a nightmare and I'm living in it. But no, it's true. It really was. We used to have the History Channel when we had a Sky subscription. We had a Sky subscription, which the way Sky works in the UK, I know you all have cable packages, don't you? The Sky in the UK, you have an entertainment package. And the entertainment package is like the basic package. And that would include the History Channel. But you have to take that if you've got the sports subscription, because that's like an add-on to it. And Mike had the sports subscription. But we thought it was just outrageously expensive. For the full sports package, in the end, it ended up something like £80 a month, which, when you think the TV licence is £140 for the year. So what Mike did was he switched to a subscription to Sky on his iPhone. And that was, at the time when he started it, I think it was £3 a month, and it's now £5 a month. And he's grandfathered onto that now. So although the price has gone up, Mike's still only paying what he was paying originally. So he watches it on his phone, but he put it on his iPad. You're not supposed to be able to do that, but the app to do it, you just two times it and the quality's fine. So he watches it on that. And the upshot of that was I then lost access to things like the History Channel. I'm wondering if the History Channel now is on Now TV, which it could be. I will check and I will let you know. There are odd things on Now TV. Now TV is basically a cut down iPad version, although you can get a box and watch it on the TV as well, of a Sky subscription. It's from the people who organise Sky. So I have an entertainment pack, and that is literally for Grey's Anatomy, which I've been waiting for like 9 months. Let's have a look. Do we have a History Channel? Do we have a channels thing? I use this so infrequently, I have no idea what we've got. We have Sky One. They're all from Sky One. Hang on. All right. We have Sky One, Sky Witness, Sky Atlantic, Gold, Comedy Central, Sky Comedy. Don't watch any of that rubbish. Sci-fi. No. Sky Crime. Now, that's actually new because I thought Sky Witness was the crime one. Oh, you've lost me. Kim Kardashian's on it. What's she doing on Sky Crime? Rebranding herself, clearly. Sky Arts, that one's not actually bad. That one has documentaries on about music and classical concert stuff. So there's a classical Christmas, there's a Kylie Minogue concert. That has actually, even though it's Sky Arts, it's got an odd thing on it where I would say some of these are documentaries. One is called 1950, is that 58 or 68? 68 is Bobby Kennedy. And then they have things on like A Midsummer Night's Dream and Andre Rieu concerts. Oh, he's got plenty of those. But do we actually have a History Channel? No, we don't. The nearest we've got to a History Channel is the Discovery Channel, which I'm reckoning is very, very similar. The Alaskan Bush people. Alaska, the last frontier. Seems to be Alaska month, well, apart from Churchill in May. But I don't really watch that much on there either. I'm just having a quick look. No, something like Fast and Loud probably isn't me, is it? Or Gold Rivers, the season special. Although, there's one about Gold Rush, but there seems to be quite a few programmes like that. Oh, there's a half-naked bloke. Oh, he's all right. He's got some strides on. We're fine. He's all right. Stand down. Although there is one here called Naked and Afraid, a Bears All special. There's something about this. These things are following me. Oh, I do like a good zoo programme. And Anthony watches Discovery as well. You do it on Virgin. Oh, you're all caught up with Grey's Anatomy. I am so, so far behind this time. I am up to, I think we are literally, we must be over 6 months behind. You probably nearly finished this one. We're up to where the car accident in the pub, in the bar. We've literally just got one episode past that. We are so, so far behind. But I do like Grey's Anatomy. That was really all I was particularly paying for. But we started to get it when 24 was on. You know, the very last series that was only a short series, it had 12 episodes. We got it for that because that was the channel it was on in the UK. and other things that have been on there that were pretty good. There was one called Chernobyl. Has anybody seen that one? I love that. I'm sure we mentioned that because I said I watched the first 5 minutes and thought I can't be doing with this. But everyone was saying how fantastic it was. So I thought I'm going to give it 20 minutes. Let's start again. And I did. And it was fascinating. I thought it was an amazing documentary. So, yeah, I love that kind of stuff. So I watched that one. There's also now one on there on Discovery called Return to Chernobyl. I don't think it's the drama. It's actually footage from drone cameras in the vicinity of Chernobyl. That's the kind of thing that I like to watch. I'm also terrible for watching plane crashes. Mike can't be doing with that. He comes in and says, "You're not watching another, you know, Seconds to Disaster, are you?" Like, yes, Mike, shut the door on your way out. To do, because I think, you know, you can't know too much in those circumstances. Like, where should I sit to be safe in a plane? Would that I were ever going on a plane, obviously. What else was on? The UK one. If you've got it, who's seen Temple? Temple was really good. And another one that was fabulous was Cobra. Weren't you in the middle of watching that, Anthony? Naked and Afraid is the one that you mentioned. Oh, right. Well, Paul, I can get that. Oh, I might have to have a quick look at that then, haven't I? Right. I'm going to put that on a post-it note for me to follow up with. I'll come back and let you know. Except for the naked parts. Is this the one where they are deposited with no clothes and have to survive? Is that the one? Call Alone, where they go out with minimal stuff and live off the land, but they do have clothes. Let's have a look if they've got that one. Call Alone. Right, because you can do a search on here, but this isn't the kind of stuff I would ever search for because I don't even think about watching TV. Let's have a look. No, there's no match for that one. Let's take that bit off and see if we've got anything. No, all I've got there is this Naked and Alone, and there's an entire series of it. Naked and Afraid. Yep, it is... How many episodes have we got? 8. Season 1, 8 episodes. Trying to survive for 21 days completely alone. All-star survivalist Luke McLaughlin. Right, Michael be thrilled when I show him. I was right, yes. Oh, you see, Anthony likes the Seconds from Disaster as well. You did a disaster analysis where you had to analyse how a disaster happened. That's really the programme, isn't it? And it is fascinating. I watched one, I think I've seen it twice, and it was, you may well have seen it, it was about a ski resort, and it was the train that took people up the mountain, so it went up a tunnel. And it was, the way it worked, there was no power on board, basically. When I say no power, it was pulled up externally on wires. So there was nothing inside it that could cause a fire, basically. And it set on fire. So in it, there were like 2 or 3 carriages full of skiers. And they had their ski boots on, so they were already pretty hampered. But they managed to, some of them managed to stagger outside the train. And then it was a case of, did you go up or did you go down? And the problem was the fire was on the down bit. So they all started heading up. And I went, no, smoke rises, walk the other way. I know it's hot, there's fire, just walk through it. Because, and not one of them, and these were proper athletes, not one of them managed to get more than, I think it was 80 foot from the front of the train. Most of them dropped within 10 to 12 feet because it was so acrid. So after it'd been on, I said to Mike, you know, there was this train, blah, blah, blah. Do you walk up into the smoke or down into the flames? And he said, up into the smoke. I'm like, no. No, Mike, no. There was only one person, I think, that walked down. And they did get a little bit burnt on the way down, but the air was clear. Once they were on the other side of the flames, the air was clear. So no, Mike would have walked up. So I can just imagine that would happen. You know, one of our laughable holidays, it wouldn't be the first time something set on fire. That Mike wanted to go up and I wanted to go down. I wonder how long we'd discuss that before I just dragged him downwards. No, it's the smoke that would get you. So, yeah, I love those Seconds from Disaster because it's like, to me, if you were in that situation, instinct might tell you to do one thing. But once you've seen the programme, you know that that's not the thing to do. My mum watched one once many years ago. I don't know how she actually remembered. And it was the fire service talking about fires, household fires. And one said, that if you have a chip pan fire, so a kitchen fire, but particularly in a pan of oil, you'll never get it out. And they're the most dangerous, even though sometimes they're smaller, because a different type of fire, like an electrical fire, you'd be able to put out with a blanket. But you can't do that with an oil-fueled fire. So they were basically saying, well, what should you do if there's an oil-fueled fire? And he said you should put a towel in a bowl of water, wring it out a little bit so it's damp, and then throw it over the top of it, if possible, if it's safe to do so. Well, many, many years later, I'm trying to remember what, I cannot remember which part of the year it was, whether it was like the autumn. Can't remember. Could have been around March, April time, but I'm not sure. I was ill, very ill. I was very, very ill to the point I actually went to the doctor, who didn't give me anything for it. But I had a terrible, terrible ear infection. So my head was banging like a drum. I was in my night clothes about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I was in bed. Mike was sitting at the desk next to me working away. And Mum screamed up the stairs, call the fire brigade. I'm like, did she say call the fire brigade? Because I'm half asleep. So I said, do what? She called the fire brigade. The kitchen's on fire. So I'm like, oh my God. So I rang the fire brigade. So I explained and they said, get out of the house. You know, just get out of the house. Where are you now? Get out of the house. And you know that question, what do you grab if there's a fire? I can tell you the answer, nothing. Not even clothes. I just left in my nightclothes. So we dashed outside. By the time we'd actually got downstairs and you literally could not see your hand in front of your face, the smoke was that bad. But once we'd got downstairs, I think we went out the back door, which was through the kitchen. She'd put the fire out. But she'd said, and you could see from the damage, there was a lot of damage. You could see that the fire had started on the stove with this, it was like a deep pan with oil in it. It had burnt the cooker. It had burnt the cooker hood. It had also burnt the wallpaper off and the curtains were on fire. But she'd had the savvy to remember, don't throw water on it, because if you throw water on it, you'll get a flashback. She'd remembered to grab a towel, put it in the sink, wring it out, put it over the pan, and then somehow getting another towel and doing the same with it, making it damp, she managed to kind of thrash the curtains with it and get the fire out. By the time the fire brigade arrived, the fire was out. So top chap runs in, you know, about nine of them following him. And he could see how bad it had been because of the burns on the ceiling. And he said, who put it out? And Mum said, I did. And you know, at this stage, she's probably about 65, 66. And he looks at her with like, how? And she said, well, I got a cloth. And you know, and he went, she said, was that all right? He went, yeah, that's totally the way to do it. But they did go all through the house then and had to open all the windows to make sure that the fumes were fine. They took me, Mike and Mum actually, into the fire engine and we all had to have oxygen. Then we all had to head off to hospital for a checkup, which was most fortuitous in the end, because it meant as I'm sat there, you know, looking really ill, this ear infection was terrible. It really was. And I had been to my GP and they didn't want to know. They would not give me anything for it. But that was a fiasco, because when I got to A&E, they were like, you don't look too good. Why are you bleeding? And it was coming out of my ear. And I said, no, that wasn't the fire. I said, I've got an ear infection. Why haven't you been to your GP? I said, I have been to my GP. They told me to come to A&E. So they said, why didn't you come to A&E? Because I'm not coming to A&E with an ear infection. I said, there's people with heart attacks that need treatment, you know, so it'll either get better or it won't. Doctor just looked at me and said, I'll give you some antibiotics and your GP should have given it you. I said, I know that and you know that. I said, but I'm not turning up here because they don't want to be bothered with me. But if Mum hadn't set the kitchen on fire, I wouldn't have got my antibiotics. That's life here. It's crazy. But yes, she knew about that because of this programme. So Kim had a kitchen fire too. Threw flour on it. That's just as well, isn't it? That would work just as well. I think a lot of people, their instinct is to throw water on it. And some, depending on the fire, that will work. But obviously with oil, that does not work. Oh, Anthony, that is spot on. That's exactly what Seconds was from Disaster was about. It would do a countdown. They'd show you what the disaster was, and then they'd count backwards. And like you say, it was usually a chain of events. And then they reached a point where they said, at this point, disaster's inevitable. You, at this point, you cannot do anything. And it was a fascinating program to watch. And yet, what do we have? What are we subjecting our millennial children to? Naked attraction. Apparently, that's all that matters. Talk about they need to get an education, isn't it? Mind you, yeah, that's an education of one sort, I presume. But yeah, it's always worth watching that. So I'm going to put that Naked and Alone on there. Oh, yes. I'll have a swift look. And I can tell you, Paul, before I get the recording of the other one, how it compares. And then when you've seen our one, you can tell me how it compares. This'll work, won't it? Oh, who'd have thought, hey, a tech podcast turning into all this kind of global education. Because there's things that are going on in the States we don't know about, and things that are definitely going on here that you are probably glad you don't know about. I'll tell you another programme that I buy that thing for, which I think I'm a series behind at the moment. Is it called The Good Doctor? The one with the autistic one with Freddie somebody or other. Good Doctor. I think it's The Good Doctor or something like that. Yes, it is. That's the one. He's brilliant. Love him in that. I am a series behind me. I've seen the first two series. Series 3's been on, but I missed it. So I'll have to catch it the next time it comes on. Because I literally had far too much to do. But no, we don't actually have a history channel, but we used to. And you're right, I loved all of that kind of stuff. I remember watching one on the plague, which, you know, came in quite handy now. You pretty much know what to expect. We seem to like the same programmes, don't we, Kim? Even though I don't watch that many. I'm trying to think what the other one was. Oh, I did do the Chicago Med thing, only because I was missing Grey's. And I thought, is this a medical drama? And it was. I'm crazy, aren't I? I love watching medical dramas, but don't drag me in there kicking and screaming. And I've actually enjoyed that one. It's quite good. There is one character that drives me mad. She seems so vacuous. I can't believe she's a doctor. Oh, what's her name? I know when the actress's name. I think it's Tori something. What's the character? The one that was going to marry Will and then didn't. She just kind of ponces around and is annoying. One of those characters that gets very annoying. But I do love Grey's. I love the characters. You've not watched Chicago Med. It's probably worth a watch, Kim. The one I didn't really enjoy, there were three programmes from the same company. Chicago Med, Chicago PD and Chicago Law or Chicago Legal. And I didn't watch them at the beginning because I didn't have access to them. It was literally just, you know, you've watched Grey's, you might like this. So I watched the Chicago Med one. And then Rachel's busy telling me that she obviously watches stuff like that and she loves it. And that there was Chicago PD. And they do crossover episodes, which do nothing but annoy me, I'll be honest. Because if you don't get to watch the other episode, when they're put out in the States, they're put out in the right order. But when we get them over here, you can be watching one series, but the other series isn't on. So you're missing an episode and you've no idea what went on. You can't follow it. But she said there'd been this crossover thing. So I started watching Chicago Med and it was brilliant and I loved it. So I'm actually up to date with that one totally. But the other one, Chicago PD, I watched the first episode and I didn't really like it. And I thought, this is a shame because I want to get to the crossover episodes. But I thought it was all a bit gratuitously violent and lacking in a story. Maybe it would be better, you know, when you get into it, you know the characters. But I must admit, I only watched the one. And I thought, I've got no patience for this. Kim doesn't like crossover episodes either. You can't sit still that long. I just spend my time trying to find the crossover episode. I use a site called epguides.com. If you've never seen it, it's got every TV programme you can consider, and it gives you the episode guide to it, the list of series, episodes and titles, which sometimes is so useful when you're trying to find something. So I'll go into there and I'll find the right episode and then I'll have to head off and try and find it. But, you know, many years ago, it was a lot easier to find than it is now. YouTube now, if you upload something to YouTube, the artificial intelligence algorithm that runs on it is blindingly fast. It can instantly tell you if there's a copyright claim on it. Funniest thing on my site, was I uploaded a video, and the only reason I uploaded the video, the sole reason I uploaded the video, was I wanted YouTube to generate the subtitles. So I uploaded it, and I left it a good 2 days. It usually takes about half an hour, and it didn't generate the subtitles. So I thought, crying out loud. So I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll upload the video again, and that will, like, kickstart it. But obviously, I didn't bother deleting it. It's my video. I uploaded it a second time, and it said there would be a copyright claim on this video. I thought, YouTube, come on, it's me. It's me speaking, and it's my video. Can you not tell that? But apparently not. So when you see TV programmes uploaded, what they tend to do to fool the algorithm is, now, the example, this was a genuine one. I had recorded some episodes of A Question of Sport, which is a sports quiz in the UK, and I'd missed the end of it. It was one of these things where something had happened, like Boris talking, and they'd moved the programme, so it had cut off the last 3 minutes, and I wouldn't have known who won. So I started doing the Googles for it to find it, and I actually found this, the entire show, on YouTube, and I thought, how have they managed to do that? Because I managed to get a copyright claim on my own video. And what they'd done was they'd put, like, a cartoon behind it, and they'd put the show picture in picture. And then they'd run the audio through heaven knows what, but it actually sounded like it had got bubbles, you know, like water, as though it was underwater. So basically the picture wouldn't have matched the algorithm, and the audio wouldn't have matched the algorithm either. So it was shocking to watch it, but I did manage to see the last 3 minutes. So that's how they get stuff up there like that and then not have a copyright claim. But years ago, you used to be able to kind of find the episode you were looking for and actually watch the thing. But now it's much, much more difficult. But I do wish with the crossover episodes, if they're going to do that, and they do seem to do it with a lot of programmes, that they'd put them on in the right order. Many years ago, Mum had the same problem with CSI. There was a crossover between CSI and I think it was CSI Miami. Or one of the things, and they weren't on in the same time zone, seriously. They were like 6 months apart. And she was infuriated, and, you know, if my mother was infuriated, we all knew about it. So I just wish they'd just stop doing that. They're probably working on the principle, aren't they? That there's some similarity in the programmes, and if you watch one, you might watch the other, so it's like an introduction to it. But it just infuriates people, so, you know, don't do that. Stop doing that. I used to think it was cool when many years ago, like the late 70s, it was like the $6 million man and the bionic woman, especially when she got a bionic dog. But now, you know, it's not funny now. Not when it's a serious programme. You're like, what happened with that? What went on there? And you've absolutely no idea. Luckily, I don't watch that much, so good. There's no need for it. There isn't, it's the Jonathan. If you're watching a series and you want to watch another one, you'll just watch it. In this day and age as well, so much of it is like box sets, binging box sets. Even Mike's mother has taken to binge watching. She managed to buy a new TV probably a couple of years ago now, and it came with a Netflix subscription. They didn't actually know they had it. They were paying for it and they didn't actually know how to configure it or anything. They weren't aware of what it was. It was just something that they bought a telly and they signed on the dotted line and it all went through, and then every month £6 went out. A friend came round and said, you've probably got Netflix on there. What's that? So he configured it and everything. And they started binge watching The Crown. So if it's on Netflix now, she's really comfortable with it, but she will watch a series from start to finish. And I think a lot of people do that. The one that Anthony and I were talking about, which was Cobra was fabulous. There is going to be a second series that's on Internet Movie Database, which I'm thrilled with, because can you imagine the script now? I watched that the first week in March, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder if we will, you know, if we will end up in a situation like this where there was like civil unrest. And I thought, no, it'd be very British and we wouldn't. And then you're like, well, actually. So now that we've actually been through this lockdown, I can't wait for the second series. I thought, what's his name? He played Albie. I always call him Albie. Oh, what's his name? Robert. Carlyle, who played the Prime Minister. I thought he was brilliant. And I love the fact that his advisor got into trouble. Really? crying out loud. I must tell you about that one in a minute. It was just very realistic, very believable, and quite shocking as well. And I love the fact I watched it all in one. So I don't know if it originally went out week by week, but I certainly binge watched it and it made a difference. Have you seen Temple? That's another one. It's a bit of a black comedy drama, but I actually enjoyed that one as well. I thought the acting was superb in it. So Kim's saying, do you know if Netflix has the same shows for you as it does for us? I don't believe it does, no. I think you get different stuff to what we get. I think you get more than we get. We would certainly get things slightly after you. The big stuff, like, was Game of Thrones on Netflix? That would be at the same time, because they would realise, you know, that you can't do that, be all over the internet. But usually we are a fraction behind you, and we certainly have less. I think it's just geographic rules. Again, there's no other reason for it. So Jonathan's grandparents like Amazon Prime. They're working their way through something or other. I'll bet I know what that is, Jonathan. There's a fabulous series, but I actually found it very, very difficult to watch. I got through the first episode and I said to Mike, whoa, I need to take a break from that one. And he's like, why is it that bad? And it was. But it's a brilliant, you know, very, very, very well done. But the kind of thing that you need to watch from behind the sofa. Who was in it? Why do we have geographic rules? Just historic. Literally just historic. But with online services, I must admit, I don't know why. And I think with their own stuff that they have actually made, I don't think Netflix do observe the geographic rules. But if it's somebody else's content, I think they just have to obey the rules no matter what. It does seem a bit ludicrous, but that's the way it is. What on earth was that thing called? I'm now trying to think who was in it. I think Al Pacino was in it, because I thought it was, I don't know his name, but the guy from Criminal Minds. Al Pacino. No, just Al Pacino. I'm sure Al Pacino. That was it. He definitely looks, I'm going to take a screenshot of this, share it with you. On this screen, he definitely looks like the guy who was in Criminal Minds. The Italian guy. If anybody knows who that is. But that's Al Pacino in this thing. And I was just convinced. The series is called Hunters. And it's inspired by true life, which I thought would be good. It was horrific. It was very, 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 very difficult to watch. There you go. That's the guy. That is Al Pacino. But to me, he looks like the guy from Criminal Minds. Yeah, it's called Hunters and it says inspired by true events. It follows a diverse band of Nazi hunters in 1977 New York City who discover that hundreds of escaped Nazis are living in America. And so they do what any badass vigilante squad would do, and they set out on a quest for revenge and justice. But the first episode's an hour and a half, so it's basically a film. And it blew my mind. Whoa, it was very realistic, overly realistic, trust me. But I do want to watch the rest. But as I said to Mike, I think each one's about an hour five now. But it's something that you would need to watch seriously in episodes. Kim wanted to watch Hunters. Is it available on Amazon Prime for you? We actually have that included with Prime, so we don't have to pay extra for that. If you've got Amazon Prime, you would just get that. Interestingly, Mike's mother started watching it. This is comical. She hasn't got Amazon Prime. She went round to a friend's. This is like the first week in March. And she's still waiting for the rest of the series because she doesn't have Amazon Prime. I was wondering if we could add her to our account as family. But I think you have to live at the same address, which is going to be a bit tricky. But it was a hard watch, that first episode. It was very, very well done. And it was a good drama. But because it's true, if it was a drama, it would be alarming enough. But because it's true, it was too much for me. No, I could not watch that back to back. Not watch that back to back. But I have watched episode one. So the next one, Jonathan will like this. The Mourner's Kaddish is the next one. So I'm improving my Hebrew as we go as well, Jonathan. The first one was In the Belly of the Whale, but there's plenty of others. Episode 7's interesting. Have you got Prime, Jonathan? If you have, episode 7, Shalom, something. And then there's other bits. I'm doing very well. Right, let's have a look. Seems silly, all these things where they can't show. The thing is, with the internet, this happened to Mike and I when we were watching 24. It would be on here on like a Sunday night, I think. But America would have had it on Thursday. And I said, right, I'm off socials and don't give me a paper. One year, my dad had a paper and he ruined the end of the series and I never forgave him. So we literally went into lockdown. We were ahead of ourselves. We went into lockdown for like 4 or 5 days. We wouldn't read a paper. We wouldn't do anything until we'd seen 24. So I think it would be nice if it went on at the same time. Some stuff you can't even get at all, which just seems, again, ridiculous. We also have quite a bit of Canadian stuff on there. You can't get Canadian content. Oh, wow. No, we actually have a lot of Canadian content. But I would say, Kim, the stuff we get is a few years old. But a lot of it is Canadian. I don't know if they've got some kind of deal going on with Canada. 10 and 11, you're allowed an extra hour to watch it. Oh, Jonathan, that's so sweet. When 24 came on, I'd probably been around 34-ish. I'd just become a mother. Maya had just arrived. And there's you. You'd have been what about that time? About 12, 13, something like that. Wow. Yet Maya didn't observe the hour's piece to watch that. No. I always felt cheated with 24 because actually it's only 42 minutes long and there's no adverts on BBC Two. So we only ever got 42 minutes of it. I wanted more. So Anthony says, Channel 4 were messing around with ER. It was something to do with the close of the football season in the US and they couldn't show the entire series. Do you know, that kind of thing does drive me insane. I know they go off for Christmas. The worst one, you might remember this, Anthony, it was in the UK. Who watched The X-Files? And that was a bit quirky, but I actually liked it. And it was on the BBC, so again, we didn't have to suffer adverts, which was fabulous. But it was worse than that. It came on the BBC and it wasn't the early series. It must have been one of the later series, series 6, 7, something like that. And it had used to have been on BBC Two. And when the BBC puts something on BBC Two, it's usually grand. Stuff like Line of Duty. Amazing. But then they move it to BBC One. And the problem with that is because of the nature of what it was, they were broadcasting it very late. So the time changed every week. The day changed half the time. But the worst one was there's an episode and Scully's looking after her sister's dog. Tiny little dog. And comes up to this thing. So it's been in it a couple of episodes. And I think they're hunting for something like the Loch Ness Monster. Something like that. And this dog died. And you're like, oh, the dog died. Never mind the rest of the episode. The dog died. So I was done. The dog had died. So puts it on the following week. And I thought, just a minute. And there was the dog. They were showing them in the wrong order. I mean, really? I know they were very episodic. But obviously there's a common thread amongst them on occasions. And it was like, then you realise as you're watching the episode after the dog had died, but it was should have been before the dog died, there was all these like Chekhov's gun moments of her looking after the dog and foretelling the fact this dog wasn't going to make it. It put me off completely. I decided in the end I wouldn't watch it. I would record it and I would use Internet Movie Database to sort the mess out at the end. Pro tip for that, if you're trying to do that and you don't know which episode's which, it's great if whatever TV series it is puts the episode title at the beginning, but not all of them do. But with the X-Files, ER and quite a few of the others, if you scoot forward to the very, very end and you have to pause it because you know the titles whip past that fast. But the very last bit of the titles, it's either the frame before or the same frame has got the year on. It actually has, sometimes in Roman numerals, sometimes just standard numbers, the episode number. It will actually put the episode number on. And that was how I got them in the right order and started again. But, you know, you shouldn't have to wait 6 months and have, back in the day, stack of about 20 videotapes stacked up there rigged to get them in the right order. I mean, if I ran the TV stations, I would put them on in the right order. Sometimes I know it's something's happened. You know, there was a stabbing incident. It would be one of the London terror attacks. And they took off a programme that had had a stabbing incident in it. But you have to question if it's not appropriate when there is or close to a terrorist incident, is it really appropriate full stop? What we've had on here this weekend, you couldn't make this up, an hour's drama, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. It's called Little Boy Blue. And it's about a little boy, I think he was somewhere between 10 to 12. And he was riding his bike, minding his own business. He was a good kid. He was going out playing football and he got shot. Some other kid on a bike mistook him for somebody else and the other kid was in a gang and he got shot. And it was, that does not happen frequently here. So it was all over the papers for years. Eventually they got whoever did it and they got put away. But I thought, what a thing to put on for a bank holiday. It must be so depressing. And you also have to think for his family that it brings it all out again. They were supportive of the drama in the first place. And obviously they did interviews in the lead up to it about keeping his memory alive. But I guess you don't think about you. I mean, I could do that, I think, if something happened and I wanted people to remember. But all of a sudden, boom, it's on again on a bank holiday and you get no warning about it. It must be so difficult. It really must. Right, so Jonathan says there was the saga with 24 when it was on Sky and Virgin Media had a spat and then removed Sky One from the channels and you weren't happy. What we did then, Jonathan, was we got a VPN and we tunnelled through to the thing in the States and swore blind we were from the States and we managed to get to watch it. It wasn't catch up, I think it was like an hour later, but it was agonising, constantly refreshing it. It was terrible. We don't do the Virgin Media TV thing. It wouldn't be worth it. If we did, our broadband would be cheaper. Obviously, the bill would be more overall, but the bill for the broadband would actually be cheaper. So we pay a premium not to take a service. That is annoying. So when they say, like, are you taking our Virgin telephone? No, we don't have a house phone. Are you taking the TV? No, we don't have a TV. They look at you as though, do you live in 1930s? Yes, apart from the internet is the answer to that one. I am watching my delivery man. It says he will arrive soon. Da-da! I reckon he'll be here probably in about 5 minutes. He's at the top of the road, which is about a mile away. So, it's 10 past eight. I will let you guys go. I will get the delivery in and I will share what we've got in it tomorrow with you. You're going to want to know this because one of the things that I ordered was the missing ingredient for Magic Mike's Magic MacBites Flapjack. Yes! So hopefully it's going to be here. I have no idea if my lettuce will be coming, but I hope I get goodies. So, yes, I hope I get something. You could not get lettuce for Grandma. That is not good. Not good. Well, it's good night from me. It's good night from Mike, although he's not actually here. We will both see you tomorrow when I will share the delivery. Good night, guys.